The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi. It's January.
It's the worst month of the year.
It kind of is, and I say that as somebody who has a birthday in January. I really hate January.
It's coming up, babe.
It's
11 days, and you are going to just be a shining beacon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll think about it, a gift to get you, probably forget.
Well, besides my birthday, you know, this is coming out on a Sunday, and I think this week is our two-year birthday here on the show.
I think it is. It's actually pretty... We
should celebrate it.
I thought it was later in January they started, but fuck it. The entire month of January is our anniversary. Our birthdays.
Ooh, okay. Birthdays all around.
I'm celebrating with you. I can't wait to see what you got me.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, what better way to celebrate this birthday month than to make sure that Matt's not here in the studio with us?
Matt's not here, and I'm sober in the month of January, as
I talked about. Except the show.
I got to support my job.
Got it.
And you need to do, like, sometimes you just have to be professional.
It's part of your roles and responsibilities.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm not drinking on the show, then what's the show?
Precisely, because we both know I almost basically didn't have a drink today.
Right. You're like, I'm just going to sip on my tea.
Well, I assumed that Matt was leaving. And by the way, I love my tea now. I was my voice is sounds very strong and confident. But
soothing.
I was assuming
soothing.
Yes. Remember when your mom a couple of weeks ago was like, John has the best voice?
Yeah, and she was like, ASMR.
But I thought since Matt isn't here, we would bypass the drink, but you put a hell no stop to that.
I kiboshed, and I was like, listen, motherfucker, I'm sober, so this has to be my one glorious thing this week.
Yeah.
So I went into our liquor cabinet, and I got my tried and true from my friends from Montclair, where I grew up, Misunderstood Ginger Spiced Whiskey, which I find, I'm a whiskey fan, as I've said before. I don't drink things neat or even really on the rocks. It's just too much for me. But I find that this is one of the only whiskeys that I can really just drink neat. And I truly like it. So I brought it back out. And
you have a mug full of it, by the way.
A mug full. Yeah. Well, I'm sober. So you got to really.
Do what you have to do.
I'm working hard.
Yeah.
I'm working overtime today. Yeah. Do you like this whiskey? I know how you feel about alcohol.
I do. What is that? I don't know what I feel about alcohol.
It's if it's not Bailey Irish Cream, then you really don't want it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No. The strong stuff is tough.
Yeah.
I really love this. And I think it's mainly because it's named Ginger Spice. And as we all know, Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell. is one of my favorite people.
We're doing murder podcasts and you managed to bring it back to David Archuleta and Spice Girls every time.
Absolutely. That's my life.
Genuinely upset with you.
By the way, if your friend from Montclair has any whiskey called Sporty Spice, I'll drink that too.
He'll make one. They'll make
Baby
one
spice.
For us.
Yeah,
I'm
make
sure.
A Spice Girl line just for John.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, actually, so I know we're, well into January, but I actually thought of this story that I completely forgot to tell you. And I don't know when I thought of it, maybe a couple weeks ago, and I just forgot to say it on the last couple episodes. But for those of you who know, John is a huge Roomba fan.
He loves
a Roomba. He's always talking about Roomba. Roomba sponsor us. And my mom told me just this amazing story at our holiday party last December that I just completely blanked on. And
last December being this just passed.
This past December, yeah.
Gotcha.
6 weeks ago.
Got it.
So my mom's an environmental engineer, and I was at her Christmas party, which is like hilarious because I'm like the loudest person there.
Yes.
But she's telling me the story about how she was in a conference in Florida or something, whatever. She's in this conference and there was a younger person there who was probably more around my age or in their 20s. And essentially she just got this new amazing apartment. It was 2 bedrooms. And she was telling the conference, she was like, either I could have had a roommate or I could have taken a second job on the side to afford the extra room in the apartment, right?
This is a young person you're saying.
This is the young person. And she was like, I wanted to like babysit cats and dogs. And my mom is obviously a huge animal fan. She was like, I really hope you chose this because it's way better than humans. And she was like, yeah, animals are better than humans.
I think I know where this is going.
So she takes in, you know, friends and family and other people's like cats and dogs, whatever.
Oh,
and she has
nice.
A Roomba to clean it up.
Yep.
And so I guess one night, like she was sleeping, you know, in her apartment. She was taking care of maybe a dog or two, maybe a cat was there as well, cleaning up all the hair that they shed. It's actually quite smart because she'd do it overnight.
Yeah.
And she didn't have a lot of time because she already had a full-time job.
You can't be vacuuming your whole apartment every day when you have a full-time job.
And honestly, with multiple animals, you really, really need to.
Yeah.
And so she was asleep one night, and she woke up, and I guess one of the dogs had, like, shit inside.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
the Roomba no. had picked it up, but the Roomba, picking it up, had just smeared it.
Oh, no.
All over.
Like, tracked it in an algorithmic style. Yeah,
like, you see the Roomba pattern. And you see the splatter pattern. Hashtag splatter pattern. Everywhere. So she woke up to literally poop covering this Roomba that was supposed to clean up. Covering her entire apartment that she was trying to afford by herself.
I'm devastated. I mean, you would have to hire a company to come clean that, right?
I would, like, imagine the smell.
Oh, Darren, don't even do it.
Like, we talk about, you know, a body sitting there, you know, decomposing, the smell that must have been. The shit-stained apartment must have been. I laughed so hard. My mom was like, I have never been more. I guess she's like, I was considering getting a Roomba. But I.
Well, by the way,
I don't know.
A few moments ago when I said, I think I know where this is going, I thought it was going to be like, she found the cat on top of the Roomba one day. How fun and pretty.
Nope. Just shit stain smears all over the place.
Wow.
Yeah. So, John, either get an animal, don't get a dog because cats poop in the litter box.
Yeah.
Or get rid of your fucking Roomba.
Yeah, and I have my Roomba set to go on like Wednesday mornings at 10, like after I'm already at work, so that I never have to hear it going and it just cleans everything.
Your boyfriend doesn't poop in the house,
and
right?
And as far as I know, he has not.
Okay,
so
he has not.
I think
we
we're
don't
okay.
know. Verdict's still out, but
sometimes
we'll see.
He's home before I am. Maybe he's clean. I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, I thought you would appreciate that.
But anyway, iRobot, if you're listening, please do sponsor us.
Please.
Because I have a Roomba 650 from like 5 years ago. It's kind of dated at this point.
I don't have any animals in my apartment. They're all my girlfriend's. So.
Oh, that's smart. I want to say one more thing about the Roombas.
Here we go.
There is a new one. I didn't even know this. I saw the commercial on TV the other day, and I don't typically watch commercials except your Auto Trader commercials,
Thank
which
you.
Keep popping up, and it's just like weird that I'm sitting in my living room and then you come up on my television. Like, it's just like
Does
casual.
Does your heart skip a beat?
Oh, it skips all the beats.
Okay. You're just flatlining dead.
Yes, I'm dead. I'm freaking dying.
I'm dead.
But one of the commercials was a new Roomba that does everything a normal Roomba does. Of course, has the app where you can like set it to do things, whatever, from your app, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to its dock, which of course they all do. But the dock is long and like kind of large. This dock will empty the Roomba's bin for you into a large container. And you can, it's so much easier to like, you know, that way it doesn't get full.
Did you have to clean out your Roomba by hand beforehand? Is that the
way
it works?
You kind of take the bin out and then you empty the bin.
Right. So this one empties it.
This empties the bin so that the next time it goes, it can be empty and collect everything.
Human beings are going to have to do nothing.
Oh, I'm into it. I
hope
totally
robots don't take over this podcast, though.
I'm going to be one of those people from WALL-E that just sits in the car in its chair and just like everything happens around him.
You know what robots can't do?
What's that?
They can't
Love
cheers,
you?
Bitch, with actual alcohol.
That's
which,
true.
We need to kick this off, this episode.
Oh, that's
already.
Right. We haven't
cheers,
even cheers, bitch.
I talked
cheers.
About the whiskey and I was almost going to take a sip and then I was like, I can't take a sip until I do the tradition.
Well, you take a sip and I'll get us started on this week's episode because we've been talking a little bit too much about robots.
Yes, we have. And I will say on this cold January day, the ginger spice whiskey is warming my bones.
My whole chest feels like it's on fire at the moment. So.
Sweetie, that's probably because you're sick.
Oh, I am sick. That's right. Anyway, guys, I'm still here, though, which is different. different than when I had the flu last
month.
Thank God. All right. Well, let's talk about Dee Dee Moore. So Dee Dee was originally named was born Doris Donegan, but all her friends called her Dee Dee. By the way, I was saying before we started the show, it's nice to have a name that like we can figure out because a lot of these names are crazy.
I'm always like, how do I pronounce his last name? Yeah. God.
Well, she was born in 1972 and raised in Plant City, Florida, which I had never heard of
before.
Which was about 25 miles outside of Tampa. Dee Dee told Snapped, quote, "You are not a city girl when you come from Plant City. It's more the country. There's a lot of farmers that are there, a lot of crops, strawberries. All of my life went to strawberry festivals," end quote.
I used to go, my sleepaway camp, we would have like an adventure where you go raspberry picking.
Ooh.
And I ate so many raspberries. It's my favorite fruit. But I ate so many, like cartons of raspberries. That I couldn't eat a raspberry for like 3 years.
I was going to say, how can you
eat
them?
I had overdosed. But a strawberry field.
I could eat strawberry.
No, we can't sing.
We can't tell. Okay.
No, great. Megan's like,
sing three lyrics. Listen, lawyers who are telling us no.
We can say strawberry fields forever.
Strawberry fields forever. That was,
this
speaking of robotics.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of robotics.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, sorry guys. Dee Dee was a Girl Scout, an elementary school cheerleader, and went to Bible studies class.
Were you a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout?
No, I think I wanted to be, but for some reason, like, my mom, like, wouldn't let me for whatever reason.
Yeah, because you're gay.
Well, right. Back
Megan,
then, that was an issue.
Were you a Girl Scout?
I was a Girl Scout.
Oh,
were
Megan
you a brownie
was.
As well?
No.
Just a Girl
no,
Scout.
No, just a Girl Scout.
Yeah, I was neither.
By the way, I love a Girl Scout Samoa. Just throwing that out
Who
there.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't,
My
right?
brother was a Cub Scout.
Is it Girl Scout cookie season yet? When does that start? I feel like it's in the winter.
I feel like it's usually in March.
Oh, okay.
That comes around.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe that's when it gets delivered. I still have like 6 boxes at my desk, so I'll just give you one.
Yeah, I'll be stopping by that after the show.
Yeah.
You have them still from March? Okay.
Unopened.
Right. Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. I was like, I'm not eating those cookies.
Sorry, it takes a while to get through
I'm
a fucking
teasing.
Pack.
I love you. I'm teasing.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it seemed like a pretty ideal small town life that she was living, although her family did not have much in the way of resources. A journalist told Snapped, quote, "She became much more aware just, you know, how modest her background was. You know, it's kind of a modest house, sort of off a dirt road, a very rural part of the country," end quote. The journalist also said, quote, "She'd go to parties and say, Mom, can you just... you know, park a little down the street because she's embarrassed by the clunkers that her family drove." Can I tell you?
It's so tough, right?
I had something like this happen to me when I was in high school where somebody, I didn't live in like a weird part of town or anything, like, you know, like anything that would be dangerous, but something happened where someone threw a brick through the front of our window. And I remember for a while it like wasn't fixed for some reason. Like, I don't know, there must have been some issue with like how we got the window replaced or something. And my friends would drop me off at school. And I just remember being so embarrassed that like, I was like, you can drop me off at the top of the street and I'll just walk down. Because our giant window in our front, luckily I'm sure it was like summer or something, so it wasn't a bad time, but... anyway, my friends would drop me off and I would just remember being like kind of embarrassed that there was like a broken window with like,
that's
kind of, like, you know what I mean?
It's like sad in its own way because as a kid, but I understand as a kid, like that, those are the things that matter.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
When you want to be like the cool kid.
Right. You wanted to be Darren Karp.
Did I? Yeah.
No,
I
you didn't. Trust me. I don't know if I did.
Well, Dee Dee was very much determined to succeed in a career. And after graduating from high school, she became a certified nursing assistant. In 1992, she married a man named James Moore, who was also from Plant City. 3 years later, they had a son together. And then Dee Dee ambitiously started a nursing staffing agency that did pretty well. Journalist told Snapped, quote, "Dee Dee's company grossed her about $200,000 a year."
That's pretty good. Nurses make a fuck ton of money.
Well, what are we doing then?
I don't know. I mean? We really should have gone to nursing school.
Apparently,
yeah, we really are not making a lot of money on a podcast.
Dee Dee herself told Snapped, quote, "I had government contracts where I would do staff government facilities, all kinds of hospitals," end quote. By 2008, Dee Dee was doing very well. She was 36, lived in a very nice home within a gated community.
Nice.
Lived a lavish life and wore designer clothes. She liked to enjoy life and spend her money. By the way, I love spending money. I cannot
spend that money.
I cannot save a penny.
I like it and I hate it.
I know, me too. Dee Dee even wrote an inspirational book about her success in business, and she told Snapped, quote, "Anything is possible you set your mind to. It, dream it, think it, do it." end quote.
Thanks, Nike.
Yeah, exactly. While her career was flourishing, Dee Dee and her husband, however, got a divorce.
I mean, I will say I do believe in like putting things out there that are super positive.
For
like,
sure.
My girlfriend and I talk about this all the time, where if you put positive shit out there in the universe, it'll come back to you. So I'm a very positive person, and I do like that saying that she's quoting. I know I'm joking about it, but it's important.
That's what I do every episode with David Archuleta. If I put it out there, he will come back to
me. Every fucking time.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, shortly after, a friend introduced her to a man named Abraham Shakespeare, who had a very dramatic story. That's right, Abraham Shakespeare.
Who is not a drag king from like the Iowa Writers Facility.
Right.
You know?
He's an Ohio Writers Facility.
Exactly.
Abraham grew up in a very poor neighborhood. He didn't do well in school. And the lead detective on the case told Snap, quote, "I don't believe he even completed middle school." Okay.
So maybe not at the Iowa Writers Workshop then. No.
But Abraham was a hard worker, and he got jobs on farms picking whatever might be in season, like raspberries were for me. The detective added that he also did, quote, construction work or some landscaping work or whatever you kind of have to do to make money, end quote. It's kind of like the gig economy now. You know what I mean? You go task rabbit, you hang up curtains for someone, you get paid. It's odd jobs that are just like that do flourish into be a whole career and a whole job for you.
Maybe I should get into that, actually.
Yeah, but you have no skills.
No, I don't.
The Tampa Bay Times reported that Abraham was illiterate and was a part-time garbage worker. He lived at his mom's house and he didn't have a car, so he just kind of barely got by with everything that was going on. But one day, Abraham got really lucky, like really, really lucky. Okay. Abraham was traveling to Miami with a coworker, and when they stopped at a convenience store, he asked his coworker to buy him 2 lottery tickets. And Abraham won a $30 million jackpot, according to the Tampa Bay Times. That's lucky.
Well, you know what else is lucky? I won $2 on a scratcher 3 weeks ago.
I've never bought a lottery ticket.
Oh.
In my entire life.
Is there a reason?
Yeah, I think it's a government scam.
Oh, okay.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
Let's keep going.
Yeah. The local sheriff told Snap, quote, "He took a one-time payout. After he paid taxes, he ended up with about $12.7 million.
Is that a government
scheme? It's a Ponzi scheme because everyone's money goes into the government for a lottery, and he gets back $12.7 million, and the government just takes the rest of it. So it's a Ponzi scheme.
But he still has $12 million more than I have.
Actually,
so.
I think there's some stat where like people who win the lottery go bankrupt a lot quicker than
I've
a lot
that.
More people, and you should ask yourself Yeah, you think you should ask yourself why?
No, I don't mean to interrupt. I do want to say there's a show called My Lottery Dream Home.
Oh, God.
And it's people who have won the lottery and are looking for their dream homes. And it will make you so excited, but also very depressed that you don't have millions of dollars. Maybe some of you listening do. If you do, let us know.
Yeah, I'm depressed now that I don't have millions of dollars.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, can I just say?
Yes, Megan.
Yeah.
If anybody wins the lottery, never take the lump sum. Always take the
payouts over time.
She's saying don't take the lump sum.
She's saying
why
don't take
that?
The lump sum because I'm sure there's more taxes that are taken out eventually in that huge lump sum. My first and only real boyfriend, Jamie, I've talked about this one before. He won $1 million on a game show because of me when we were 19. And he's the youngest person ever to win $1 million on a game show. And at that time, you took it over 10 years. So he got $100K pre-tax until we were 29 and we're 30 now. And so that was way better than taking any sort of lump sum. And
interesting.
I think it's just
financially,
also,
you're saying.
I also think it's better for a lot of people to budget it because all of a sudden you feel like, hey, I've got $12.7 million and that, you know,
I would take the lump sum though. And here's why, because maybe I'm going to die the next day and I would rather enjoy that money. Because
we'll
once.
Kill you and, you know, I'll put a life insurance policy out on you.
Of course.
Well, Abraham was really nice and he tried to buy his mother a new home, but she actually refused. Reasonably, his mother explained, quote, "I wouldn't have been able to pay insurance for a house like that. I wouldn't have been able to pay taxes on a house like that." Exactly.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
According to the Tampa Bay Times, quote, "He gave his stepfather $1 million. Hello.
Hello.
He gave his 3 stepsisters $250,000 apiece. He paid off $185,000 off a mortgage for a friend." Damn, Abraham.
Well,
you a saint.
We'll get through this money thing here in a second, but I want to ask you, if you did win $13 million, how would you use it? Think about it, Megan, you as well. We'll get to it eventually.
Okay. The lead detective said, quote, "He was known to have parties, lavish parties, where he would rent out halls for DJs to come in." Yeah. I'm imagining so.
Yeah, yeah.
"He also set up a $1 million trust for his son," which actually is probably pretty smart, according to the Tampa Bay Times. But that's only a partial list of the money he gave out. For himself, he bought a 2006 F 150 pickup, which is like the most common car in the United States, and a 2007 BMW 750i. And he bought himself a new home, according to the Tampa Bay Times. It was a 6,519 square foot home that included an enclosed pool and two car garages. So it's like my apartment in Manhattan.
By the way, two car garages.
Yes, two car garages. Exactly. So four cars.
There you
my
go.
Apologies.
Yeah, yeah.
His mother told Snap, quote, "He told me his telephone stayed busy all the time. People were calling him about money," end quote. You really know the fucking like snakes in the grass as soon as you become famous or you get money for something. After just a year and a half, Abraham was down to just $1 million by late 2008. Then he met Dee Dee.
Oh.
Her friend introduced them in the context that it would be a great rag to riches story for Dee Dee's next book. Okay. Abraham was 41 years old at the time, but as soon as Dee Dee heard more about Abraham's story, she realized he needed help managing his money more than anything, and she went to work. He had loaned out more than $8 million, and she started appearing in the poor neighborhoods Abraham came from to try and get some of it back. Hmm. A sheriff told Snap, quote, "She starts identifying, you know, all these people that owe Mr. Shakespeare money."
Well, I just can't get over the Shakespeare name, number one.
I know, me neither. It's I can't get over the odd. Fact that he like one time goes to a gas station and buys a lottery ticket,
right?
And then like spends all of it to other people.
Right. Well, this is what I was going to say. I'll tell you what I would do with $13 million. I would pay off my incredibly annoying student loans, which are dictating my life at this point.
The interest rates for that has to be crazy.
It's unimaginable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's unimaginable. But anyway, not to like get too deep. And mm-hmm. then I would buy a house like somewhere with a tennis court and a pool, and I am set. I would give, and I'm not exaggerating, I would give it all away. I would donate it to charities. I'd give it to Megan. I'd give it to you. I would.
Oh, well, Megan, now we have, yeah, now we have incentive
have
for keeping him on the podcast. Megan
I'm just,
and I were considering killing you.
I'm just one of those people that like, I would not, I don't like the lifestyle of like being so lavish and like falling into a pit of spending when there are so many people that could use that money. You know
100%.
What I mean? Yeah,
I agree with that. I would probably not give all of it away, mm-hmm. but I would definitely invest a lot of it and then definitely give to the, you know, charities
yeah,
that
I know you would,
I
yeah.
saw fit, but definitely I would move into a better apartment.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like buying a property yeah. that makes you comfortable
and give a lot of it to animal shelters.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Andy. I was like, I'm sure he's fine.
I'm going to donate $1 million to Andy
Cohen
because he really needs it in this time of year.
Oh boy.
Yes.
All right, back to this story. So
yay.
On November 9th, 2009, Abraham's cousin Cedric called 911 and said he hadn't seen him since March or April.
Oh shit.
That's kind of a
so
long time.
Almost 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 4 or 5 months later.
Yeah. Everyone had borrowed money from Abraham, including Cedric, but he told authorities he was paying it back. Cedric said for the past 8 months, he had been paying a woman named Dee Dee instead of his cousin. I see where this is going, maybe.
Interesting.
He liked her, and he told Snapped, quote, "She seemed real nice. She was very helpful," end quote. Oh, well, I'm sure she was if she's getting paid.
Yeah.
Despite getting along with her, Cedric became worried about Abraham when Abraham never showed up anymore, wouldn't answer calls, and couldn't be reached.
Not a good sign.
No. A missing persons case was opened, and detectives went to Abraham's former house, now owned by Dee Dee. Cedric told authorities that Abraham had said he was going to sell it to her. She claimed he sold it because he wanted to go into hiding. So apparently so many people were hitting him up for some cash.
Well, to the point earlier, you know, the mother even said his
yeah.
phone was just always going.
Right. I mean, I also feel like this is what Michael Jackson did and that he's still alive. We'll talk about it later.
Well, that's another theory.
That's another theory for
another shot.
Dee Dee told Snapped, quote, "He's tired of all the headaches. He's tired of, he was just burnt out. He was done with everything," end quote. The lead detective added, quote, "I think he finally figured it out that maybe I need to get out of here, just disappear or take a vacation to get away from the pressure of having the lottery winnings being known and being asked for money," end quote. Dee Dee said that Abraham sold her the house, his cars, and his other assets for cash in order to bounce town. So far, I mean, I kind of believe this so far.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, if you are being harassed
yeah.
all the fucking time, you probably want to go into hiding too and just be like, who can I trust?
Yeah. All these questions are what Michael Jackson asked himself.
Yeah.
The detectives checked his deal out and it looked legit. A sheriff's detective told Snap, quote, "She shows this asset purchase agreement that basically outlines $3 or $4 million worth of property, you know, either money owed or properties or whatever," end quote. There was nearly $2 million still owed to Abraham, and Dee Dee said that he left her in charge of the remaining assets and collections.
I mean, okay, like, in what we know now, this could all check out, but obviously something won't know.
Well, look, it's martinis and murder, right?
Right, exactly. What if we were like, end of podcast? End of
fade to black.
Good thing Matt's not here to shut us up before we
Thank
even...
God.
Dee Dee spent hours going through all the dealings with detectives, but the most important thing remained a mystery. Where the fuck was he? That's emphasis my own.
Yeah, that was yours.
That was me. Dee Dee told Snap, quote, I knew he was leaving. He had already planned on leaving, but then he wouldn't talk to anybody, you know, end quote. She explained that he had kept his location secret, even from her. Hmm. But maybe that was to make sure that she couldn't, in a moment of weakness to anybody else, say anything. Yeah. Sometimes it's better to be ignorant about those facts.
Yeah, so then she doesn't accidentally tell people where he is, and then they go ask him for more money.
Exactly. But she added that she could still text him, so she sent a text saying to call her and told investigators, quote, give me a couple days, he'll call me, and I'll let you know. In the meantime, investigators looked for other leads, but no one had heard about him or from him in a little while.
I mean, this is a lot of money to just be like, listen, investigators, I'll let you know when I get a hold of
him. Exactly.
Like, it's just kind of odd to me.
Well, Abraham's mother told Snap, quote, I know he couldn't have just took off like that without coming and talking to me about it. Abraham wouldn't have did that. That's what it says.
I know. Those are her words.
That's not the whiskey talking.
No.
Direct quote. But also, you know, I think he's wanting to pay off all these loans. He's wanting to buy his mother a house. He's mm-hmm. wanting to do all these things. Like, he does seem, from what we know now, like kind of a mama's boy. So I think she does have a good point about that.
Yeah.
Take a drink, Abraham's mother.
There you go.
Rumors circled everywhere claiming he was in Jamaica or on a cruise. There was one common thread with all the rumors, though. They had all apparently come from Dee Dee. The lead detective told Snap, quote, we called her and did he call you back? And no, he didn't call me back. And she'd come back to the office. She'd call his phone. It'd go to voicemail. Then she'd send some messages. She would leave saying, I'll let you know tomorrow when I hear from him, end quote. Not a good sign.
No.
Dee Dee herself actually said, quote, he's hard-headed. He's being stubborn. I'm convinced he's doing this to me. I'm convinced he's just being a brat, basically. End quote. As the investigators look at phone records, a pattern begins to appear. Abraham had hundreds of calls per day until April 6th. He literally seemed to speak on the phone all day, every day, and then nothing.
That's very odd. Imagine being called so much about money. Like, how could you?
Well, yeah, but apparently he was still texting with Dee Dee.
Oh,
okay?
Right.
So Dee Dee and Abraham's phones were on the same cell tower whenever they spoke. So it seems to investigators that she had his phone because it's from the same location. Unless he's literally just like in a shed behind the house.
Yeah.
So the holidays come around in 2009 and detectives start to play Dee Dee hard. The lead told Snapped, quote, I said, look, Dee Dee, if his mother doesn't hear from him around Christmas and the holidays like she always has, you know, I'm going to think that there's something up.
Interesting.
So they're trying to get her because all these rumors are swirling about her.
Yeah.
Cell phone towers doesn't seem to make any sense. She hasn't got a hold of him. She's pushing the cops off. The mother is really the key thing here.
Yeah. Well, on Christmas Day in 2009, 8 months after he had gone missing, Abraham called his mother. His mom told Snapped, quote, I should know my son's voice. And I told him, I said, you don't sound like Abraham. I'm not dumb and stupid, end quote. She said the caller had hung up soon after and had called from a private line. That seems kind of suspicious, right?
Mm.
Investigators subpoenaed the cell phone carrier and soon had the caller's number and GPS coordinates.
I mean, think of how many like murders and things wouldn't be solved unless cell phones were around.
Right? Well, we were just speaking with Rabia in a recent episode. Think about how that, like, on the
that
contrary.
Cell phone, right, that cell phone tower stuff is inadmissible,
yeah.
And it's just crazy.
Yeah. They rushed to the location, which was a local mall, and minutes later, Dee Dee rolls up.
Huh.
They watched in disbelief of their luck as Dee Dee pulled up alongside another car and handed off something. Now imagine this. They're like trying to find out who has this phone.
Right, exactly.
She rolls up and hands something to someone else. I mean, what is that?
Well, what's
luck?
Going on?
The man she handed something to was Greg Smith, a recipient of one of Abraham's loans, and he told investigators that Dee Dee had just given him $5,000 to call Abraham's mother and pretend he was Abraham.
So this ain't looking good
no.
for my girl Dee Dee.
Greg had been convinced by Dee Dee that Abraham wanted to be missing and that she needed him to do this to get the cops off of her back. But once the cops told Greg about the investigation, he agreed to help. 2 weeks later, the sheriff's office called a press conference to announce that Abraham was missing and possibly murdered and that Dee Dee was the primary person of interest. She does seem to be, with all this information, the epicenter of what's going on
here.
Well,
and even if he did really want to disappear, there's no way that he would have said, In my estimation of everything that we know now,
yeah.
he probably wouldn't have said, get some fake guy to call, you know, mom. It would have
well,
been like,
right.
let me afford a fucking burner phone.
Yeah.
And call from an undisclosed location. Boom.
Boom.
Done.
There you go.
Solved it.
Undisclosed, a great podcast by Rabia Chaudhry. Dee Dee was shocked and freaked out by this news. She told Snap, quote, "They couldn't do anything to me. They had no evidence, no nothing against me," end quote. She quickly called Greg to try to find someone that would take the fall for killing Abraham.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now we're jumping to killing him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dee Dee attempted to make Greg a deal. ABC News reported, quote, "She'd forgive his debt if he helped her dodge the police," end quote.
Huh.
But Greg called the cops up and they set up a sting. The lead detective said to Snap, quote, "He's like, I got a cousin that's going to be going to prison for 20 years on drug charges in the federal system, and I think he'd take a murder rap, and then Dee Dee says, I want to meet him," end quote.
Huh.
Interesting. Isn't it interesting, like, how these deals, back-end deals kind of happen?
Well, yeah, and everyone thinks that they're just, like, so slick with everything, you know, but it's all recorded. Everyone knows.
Of course. ABC News reported that Greg, quote, "used an audio recording device that he fashioned himself in a Red Bull can to record his conversations with Moore."
Red Bull sponsor us.
Everything's, like Darren said, even Red Bull cans are listening
Sponsorable.
In.
Sponsorable, yes.
The meeting went down as expected, except the guy Dee Dee met wasn't Greg's cousin. It was an undercover officer.
Oh, shit.
Like that Fergie song. Oh, shit. Anyway, but even during the sting operation, Dee Dee claimed she didn't do anything, telling Snap, quote, "These cops are trying to frame me for killing Abraham, and I really didn't kill the man." Okay, so let's pause.
Okay, so she's aware. Like, she could be saying, for everything that we know right now, like, she could be telling the truth.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is she's right in the sense that there's no evidence that this man is even dead yet.
No, it's fishy, but yeah. I don't really know if any of that evidence can be used in court.
Right. No,
because
that's true.
It does seem a little weird that she's using all these excuses and hiring someone to talk to his own fucking mother.
Well, then she says that he's dead and that, quote, "he would have come back. He would have come back for Christmas time." So she's thinking he's dead, but she's not saying I'm the one that did it, of course.
Right.
She explained that she needed someone to do this to get her life and business back. She said she could pay $50,000 for this, but the undercover officer told her that he needed to know how he was killed, where the body is, and the murder weapon in order to confess the crime. Dee Dee laughed and thanked the man. In an audio recording of the sting, she said, quote, "You're going to be a legend, and you're going to be in a book, and probably on the Oprah show," end quote. Well, you've made it to Martinis and Murder.
Which is the highest of honors.
Of course.
Yes.
4 days later, she gave Greg a handgun allegedly used to kill Abraham. Then she took Greg to a home she had bought and walked him to a large concrete slab and told him the body was 6 feet down under it.
Oh, that's so eerie.
This is getting crazy now. 48 hours later, under the watchful eye of many news cameras, authorities dug up Abraham and confirmed his identity with fingerprints. He had been shot in the chest twice.
Well, homegirl knew where he was buried.
Yeah, there you go.
That doesn't look good.
The next day, Dee Dee contacted the police. She told Snapped, quote, "I wasn't going anywhere. I'm not going to run. I knew I didn't have anything to do with it," end quote.
Except
you knew exactly where the body was.
You knew where he was. You were going to pay $50,000. Mm. All right. Well, Dee Dee presented a very unique story, okay? ABC News reported, quote, "Claiming she was framed, Moore told detectives several times that a drug dealer named Ronald and his band of killers were responsible for Shakespeare's death and were targeting her."
By the way, quote, that's Abraham Shakespeare, not William Shakespeare.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't
that was
know.
Too long ago. The lead detective told Snap, quote, "Her version was that Abraham Shakespeare was doing a large heavyweight drug deal involving about $250,000 cash." Okay, that's a pretty big drug deal.
Definitely.
Dee Dee said Abraham then disappeared when a mysterious Ronald character came to collect his money. She said, quote, "I felt like I was on a TV show. It didn't feel real. I don't hang around drug dealers. I don't deal with bad people," end quote.
Mm.
The drug dealer supposedly took everything in Dee Dee's safe, shot Abraham, and left her alive to get them more money. But the cops weren't actually buying the story. Here's a snippet from her interrogation with police. "I will be Dee Dee."
Okay, I'll be the investigator.
And you're going to be the investigator.
Okay.
"They put this gun in my mouth. I peed my pants. I peed in my pants.
Dee Dee.
I was scared.
Dee Dee."
End scene. Really good job.
Thank you. That's actually in the script.
You had to say D's four times.
Yes, thank you.
Later, she told Snapped, quote, "The police acted like these people don't exist. There's people that behead people. There's people that chop people up. There's real drug dealers out there, and these cops were making fun of me like I'm making these people up, and they were real," end quote. But she still wasn't arrested because the police had more work to do. The media had moved its camp from Abraham's makeshift grave to Dee Dee's house. So on February 2nd, Groundhog Day, on the way out of the house, Dee Dee made a long-winded statement to CNN.
Interesting.
Okay?
How did it go?
Everybody feels bad at some point and don't know what decision to make when they're scared. So to that, I say, let the courts be the judge of that. Let the investigators do their job and they'll bring justice to the right person.
Well, maybe that's not the best thing to say, because either way, you knew where the body was.
Doesn't look good.
No.
She drove away and then was arrested and charged with first degree
right.
murder.
Sure.
She defiantly told Snap, quote, I wasn't worried about it. I knew I wasn't going to go to prison for life. Are you kidding me? To try to say I killed somebody? To me, that was not shit. Not as much funny, but sickening.
There you go.
I mean, I don't know. To me, even if I knew, and maybe this is just coming off of our Rabia interview.
Mm.
If I knew I was innocent of something and someone was convicting me of first degree murder,
yeah.
I'd be fucking terrified.
Yeah.
Because as we know, and I've talked about the Innocence Project before, sometimes being innocent doesn't matter at all in our court system.
No.
And I would be freaking the fuck out.
Well,
that's just me.
I agree. After 2 years of sitting in jail without bail, Dee Dee wasn't looking so hot.
Okay.
She was nearly unrecognizable, and the lead detective told Snap, quote, her looks drastically changed while incarcerated, end
I'm
quote.
Sure. How could they not?
I know. The prosecution said that Dee Dee had seen the potential in manipulating Abraham because he had a very low level of education.
Remember, we talked about how he probably dropped out of middle school. He probably had a lot of, like, you know, street skills or whatever. We're not saying he's not smart. It's just maybe the education level wasn't up there.
Dee Dee told Snap, quote, they made me out to be a monster, end quote. A white collar crime expert analyzed Abraham and Dee Dee's accounts and told the jury how Dee Dee had drained all remaining lottery assets from Abraham into her own accounts. He said the money didn't stay there long. She had high expenses from alcohol, watches, diamonds, cars, and vacations to Vegas and New York. Maybe we passed her in the
That's
subway.
Nice, yeah.
Then the prosecution called a former assistant of Dee Dee's to the stand. She claimed that Abraham went to the bank one day, couldn't withdraw funds, and became enraged. The assistant tipped off Dee Dee, and an attorney for the Shakespeare estate told Snap that the assistant said, quote, he found out and he's angry, end quote.
Oof.
What about Dee Dee's drug dealers robbing her and emptying the safe, though? Abraham's blood was found in the carpet near the safe.
Okay.
That's not a good sign. The prosecution theorized that Dee Dee had been confronted by Abraham, not a drug dealer, and had pulled a gun out of the safe instead of his money. While the caliber of weapon Dee Dee had given to Greg matched the bullets found in Abraham, it wasn't possible to forensically prove it was the same weapon used because of the age of the corpse. So that's one of those sad circumstances about...
Yeah, it could have been an easy open and shut. Right?
Yeah, definitely. Dee Dee's defense claimed that, as Dee Dee had initially said, drug dealers had stolen the money, killed Abraham, and threatened her. And that's why she lied to investigators. She told Snap, quote, everything I was allowed to tell him, I told him. I was only allowed to tell him certain things because I had Ronald, you know, that was scaring me. End
I mean,
quote.
Listen. Despite everything, that does happen.
Yeah.
And you have tons of innocent people also, you know, pleading guilty to things.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
You know, we've seen it in Brandon Dassey's case, in Making a Murderer, American Vandal, which is this really cool show on Netflix, which is like this crime mockumentary about a bunch of high school students. The second season is about how one of the kids, you know, claims he
false
did something.
Confession.
It was a false confession. And so if you're scared for your life, if you're under duress, those things do happen.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if, as it pertains to like plea deals and all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. And if you have a drug dealer threatening your life,
yeah.
I don't even know what that feels like.
About testifying, Dee Dee said, quote, I wanted to testify. I wanted to go up there and tell my story. My lawyers wouldn't let me, end quote. Sometimes that's not a good idea. Most of the time it's not a good
right,
idea.
Right, exactly.
It's almost, I want to say never a good idea.
Yeah, Megan's never saying never a good idea.
She says it's almost never a good idea.
Almost never. But one juror said, quote, it would not have been in her best interest for her to attempt to testify in her own behalf because she wouldn't have been able to make it through, end quote. I'm assuming he's talking, or this juror's talking about, like, cross examination. Thank
yeah.
you. Dee Dee may have fought a little too hard despite not testifying. CBS News says, quote, Moore was briefly banned from the Tampa courtroom Monday over concerns that she may have threatened jurors. She was back a short time later for closing arguments, but said she did not want to take the stand in order to protect her family, end quote. Dee Dee was found guilty. Stunned, she maintained her innocence. She told Snap, quote, I believe I was murdered by the hands of justice, and my life is what they have to live with. They have to live with murdering me. My lawyers failed to give me any defense, and that is the only reason I lost my case, end quote. It's interesting that she would describe herself as murdered of all things. The judge in the case stated that Dee Dee was the most manipulative person he'd ever scene. She was sentenced to life in prison. CBS News reported that Dee Dee, quote, showed no emotion as a jury foreman read the verdict. Judge Emmett Battles sentenced her to an additional minimum mandatory 25 years for using a gun in the commission of a felony, end quote.
Okay. All right. Well, in actual 2017, a worker was doing renovations to a property when they found a secret room in an attic of a garage, according to Mashable.
Sounds crazy.
Sounds like a speakeasy bar in Manhattan.
Yeah, that's true.
The room was accessed by pushing on a wall, which led to a room with air ventilation, stained wood walls, carpeted floors, cable, electrical outlets, a toilet, and locks from the inside.
Weird.
So it's like almost like a bunker, it seems like. There was a few mysterious personal items strewn about and two license plates on the wall. Once the workers made a video of the space and posted it online, someone came forward to inform him this home was once occupied by Dee Dee, and allegedly the license plates confirm this, although this wasn't verified by Mashable. To this day, Dee Dee maintains her innocence. In a recent interview with 2020, Dee Dee cried and said, "I would never hurt anybody. I like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Disney."
Okay. That, I don't know that that means you're off the hook, but okay.
Neither do I. That seems like something someone weird would say.
Yeah.
And here's a headline from a local paper, The Ledger, in 2017, quote, "Mother of slain lottery winner Abraham Shakespeare's son wins $1 million jackpot."
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
She bought the scratch-off ticket at a Circle K. And according to the New York Daily News, her odds of winning were 1 in 1,140,000.
That is completely... I was not expecting that. And I didn't read ahead of this. I wanted to make sure we knew. I didn't know as much as we got into this one.
It's like the most lucky and unlucky family I've ever heard. You know what I mean? It's just like this twist of fate.
So, I mean, how does this happen? Does somebody give her a scratcher in jail? Right? Because isn't she still in jail? Life
the
in prison?
No, no, the mother.
Oh, the mother.
Dee Dee didn't win. The mother did.
What the hell?
Yeah, so now you're even more confused.
I'm even more
confused. And this is our show.
I just want to go buy a scratcher now and win $1 million.
Don't. It's a scam.
Well, look, if it's going to pay my student loans, I have to try.
Well, you'll probably only get $5 from that. Yeah. And then Megan and I will kill you for right, that money that, and hide in a bunker.
That sounds right.
What a crazy twist of fate. What an interesting story. Let us know what you guys think of it. Do you think Dee Dee had a... Yeah. I don't know, a reasonable... Do you think she had reasonable doubt or no?
Well, I want to know what's in this room, by the way. You know, the secret room.
I'm pushing on a wall? That's just so fascinating.
If I ever have a home, because God forbid I get out of New York and buy a home.
You won't, yeah.
I would love to have a secret room like that.
Fuck yes,
just for fun.
Too.
You know
me
what I mean?
Too.
I don't know what I would...
What'd you say?
We're doing that right now.
You're building a secret room in your home?
Yes, yeah, secret.
Oh, we're going to Megan's then.
I told you it was a speakeasy bar. Megan, you better invite us over. Not kidding.
In case we didn't hear it on the mic, Megan has a secret speakeasy bar room.
Megan makes all the money here.
Building. In the middle.
But speaking of having fun,
yeah,
let's end on some listener shout outs.
Let's do that.
Felice on Facebook says, started from the beginning and now I'm here. I was a little late, but I love you guys so much. Even Matt, crying emoji. But my birthday is actually on the anniversary of the show. And not only is it my birthday, it's also my dirty 30 in 2019. It's going to be great. But I just wanted to say how much I love your show. I look forward to it every week and it always makes me bust out laughing at work. It's perfect. Drink a Vegas bomb for me. Love y'all. Yes, I'm Southern. Hashtag Dan, your wife is here. Hashtag dedicated. Hashtag Taco Bell, please sponsor us. Sponsor them, excuse me, for shit's sake. Happy birthday.
There's a lot going on
Happy
in that
Happy dirty
one.
Fucking 30. That is awesome. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I can't believe that we're celebrating 2 years of our show here at the same time she's celebrating 30.
I know.
You
and
know?
Normally you and I, we take off, you know, we each do like our own listener shout out or whatever.
Yeah.
But I see that you've chosen Bailey for yours. And I wonder if that's because you like the drink.
Maybe it is, Darren.
Okay.
Bailey, my favorite drink, on Facebook says, I stumbled upon this podcast by chance over the summer on vacation and listened to 20 episodes alone.
Holy shit.
That week. Imagine that.
Dear Lord.
So, how can people stand my voice or our voice?
I can't even look at myself in the mirror.
Since then, you all have been something I look forward to every week, and I tell people about you all every chance I get. Thanks for bringing laughter, liquor, and a little murder to my life.
Laughter, liquor, and murder.
That's a good podcast.
Laughter and liquor.
Maybe that's our spinoff show. Someday.
Laughter, liquor, and lesbians. That's my spinoff of the show.
I was going to say, I don't know if I'm on that
cast or not, but you'll be a guest. Well, another episode done, Johnny boy.
Let's go buy some scratch-offs. Let's buy scratch-offs, and if anybody would like to pay off my student loans, hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah, I see the tweets going now.
See you guys soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Excuse me, Megan. I just need a cough. Feel free to cut that part out.
Nah, keep it in there.
Keep the fun parts
in. The fans got to know we cough.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.